Emery v. Gallo.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court and Counsel, I am Brett Kepley, attorney for the appellant Emery, who is also the plaintiff in the underlying case. We are here today asking this Court to reverse a bankruptcy judge's denial of Emery's proof of claim filed against the defendant Gallo, who is a debtor in a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, and also asking that the Court reverse the bankruptcy judge's denial of Emery's objection to a motion for turnover filed by Gallo in that bankruptcy proceeding. The proof of claim hinges essentially on this, a Florida tort of slander of property. That is the basis of her claim. The basis of her damages is asserted that because of the slander of title, it cost her a buyer who was willing to pay a certain amount of money, who then backed out of that transaction.
What is the evidence there was a buyer willing to pay that?
Pardon? I'm sorry?
What is the evidence there was a buyer willing to pay that?
There was a Mr. Mankus who had entered into an agreement.
What is the evidence?
The evidence was that he and...
What is the evidence? Is it someone's testimony?
Yes, it's the testimony of Mr. Mankus and Ms. Emery.
But his testimony says something more like the development value of the property is $710,000, and we don't know whether he means after he's bought it from her and invested another $400,000 in it, it'll eventually be worth $710,000, or whether he thinks that just as is. It's very unclear. The district court thought it was pretty weak evidence.
Well,
it's not really evidence of market value, or at least that's not what he said.
No, but the question is, do you have an agreement to purchase for an amount, whatever the amount is?
But there was no evidence of that. There's just this vague evidence about development value.
Right. Emery did testify that she believed that they had had an agreement for that amount.
And why was the district court required to accept her opinion?
The district court really didn't accept the damages issue because of a statute of frauds, asserting that there was no written agreement.
I think the district court mentions that, but I don't think that's the only thing the district court was saying. He's actually going straight to how thin this effort to prove that proposition is.
Well, the district court spent a lot of time talking about the two things. One was the statute of frauds, and the other was connected with this value issue, was the fact that the divorce court in the Gallo-Emery divorce had set the property at a certain amount. And the bankruptcy judge ruled that, therefore, the amount that Emery did ultimately resell the property for was in excess of what the divorce court had set as an amount, and therefore suffered no damages. And as we've asserted in our briefs, it certainly is wrong for the bankruptcy court to have considered what was done by the divorce judge in his decree on what the value of the property was at the time that the divorce occurred.
But your theory seems to be that the divorce proceedings are utterly irrelevant to this. And I thought, personally, that since everything arose out of the divorce, the obligation on Mr. Gallo's part to transfer this Sanibel property to Ms. Emery, the the obligation on Ms. Emery's part to pay a relatively substantial sum of money, $125,000 to Mr. Gallo, the lawyer filing the lis pendens against the property, it seemed to me this was an effort to enforce the financial responsibilities Ms. Emery had that, even if mistaken as a matter of law, was at least in good faith.
Yeah, we're not suggesting that what occurred in the divorce proceeding is utterly irrelevant. It was
well, and once you concede that it's relevant, it seems to me the lis pendens, as I say, even if it's a technical matter, Florida law doesn't use them in these circumstances, it's hard for me to see why it wasn't at least a good faith effort to secure payment.
It is not a good faith effort because it is not a bona fide challenge to the property.
Well, that's just a tautology. Bona fide means good faith. So it's not a good faith effort because it's not a good faith effort.
Well, what we're arguing here is not a mistake of fact. For example, we have a mortgage that's filed on the property, and the property owner comes in and says, I did not sign that mortgage. That signature is not mine. And therefore...
I don't understand. He wants to rescind the transfer because she didn't do her part of in the settlement. She didn't give him the money. So he wants to rescind the transfer of the property, get the property back. So brings a suit. What's wrong with that?
Because the divorce court did not provide or mandate that he have any rights in that property. The divorce court gave him a money amount.
Cheated by his argument, he's been cheated out of the $127,000, whatever the amount was. So he wants the property back.
He's not entitled to get that. What he's entitled to get is the money.
What he's entitled to get is a money amount. Rescission is a perfectly good remedy for a situation in which you've given someone property in exchange for property that person was supposed to give you and hasn't. And he hasn't, so she hasn't, so you try to rescind the transaction, put the people back where they were in advance, where he would have the property.
The problem is he didn't.
It's a perfectly conventional type of lawsuit.
But he was not filing any lawsuit. He had just simply filed in this.
No, if you're planning to file a lawsuit, you're obligated, I mean, you should. I don't know if it's a legal obligation. You should notify the world of that by filing a list pendant so some sucker doesn't come along and buy the property from her only to find out that it doesn't belong to her because she violated the terms of the settlement.
I think that presumes that under Florida law...
This means is litigation. So if you have a pending or impending lawsuit involving title to property, you're certainly entitled, and I think for the benefit of everybody, you should file that in the registry. That's
if there is a pending suit, you file it. I do not think under Florida law there's any authority for filing a list pendants.
I don't understand. If you have a potential claim against property, you want to make sure it's not transferred out from under your nose while you're deciding whether to sue. Now, if you do it in, coercive and bad faith, sure, you're just trying to put a cloud on the property. Of course, that's bad. But that wasn't shown here.
Well, there was no suit or claim filed by Mr. Gallo at any time, even during the pendency of the bankruptcy.
But that's why I wanted to go back to this good faith point. It seems to me, one could debate whether rescission was going to be available. It seems to me maybe that would have been a way to restore the status quo ante and then go back to the divorce court and do something about it. Maybe yes, maybe no, but it's very difficult for me to see why this filing was not, at a minimum, a good faith filing, thereby requiring Emory to prove actual malice. And I just can't see, under these facts, where we have an underlying linkage between the property and the debt, why you could show actual malice.
Brown versus Brown, the Florida case, which had this exact facts, where you'd had a divorce property resolution, husband got two properties, wife got a money award in her favor against the husband. She files a list, and after that's done, she files a list pendants on the properties. Court said can't do that because there was no action pending regarding the property itself, the real estate or the two parcels of real estate.
So you have a strict liability view of this, I take it. So if a lawyer makes a mistake and thinks, or thinks Brown versus Brown is distinguishable or in any way thinks that it doesn't govern this case, if they somehow wind up being wrong, then there's actual malice?
Under this scenario, that is correct.
I don't see that. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kepley. Mr. Graham?
May it please the Court, Your Honors. My name is William Graham, appearing on behalf of Appellee Frank Gallo. I understand that the Court has read all the briefs. I'd just like to briefly hit the key facts that the appellee believes are.
Well, your opponent's major argument, relying on the Brown case, is that Mr. Gallo never brought a lawsuit trying to get the property back. So what was the list pendants doing if there was no suit?
Your Honor, there's a completely reasonable basis for Mr. Gallo's attorney to have filed the list pendants in this matter. The appellant did not satisfy the underlying court order. She was required to pay the $125,000.
That's not my question, though. So get to my question.
The question is, Brown v. Brown, is that applicable to this case? I don't believe that it is, Your Honor.
If Gallo never brought a suit, then was the list pendants proper?
Of course it was. Yes, Your Honor, I believe that it was proper. It was proper in that he had the ability to bring the suit based upon an equitable lien. He could have. So it was, in fact, as the court was suggesting, it was his obligation to.
Pending lawsuit. If there's no pending lawsuit, can you still file a list pendants?
Absolutely, Your Honor. As you were indicating,
it suggests that no, that there never was a claim and against the marital property, so the list pendants had to be removed.
Your Honor, I don't believe that the Brown case is actually applicable to this case. That case did not deal with the good faith defense to slander of title at all. I believe it's clearly distinguishable.
Well,
as
forget Brown. Just the basic idea, you file list pendants because you have a pending lawsuit. If you don't have a pending lawsuit, what's the purpose or justification for filing the list pendants?
Well, I think the justification for filing the list pendants is the potential for a lawsuit, not an actual lawsuit.
But the possibility of abuse in a situation like that, and we've even seen this, is tremendous. If people can go around filing list pendants notices vis-a-vis other people's property just to tie it up, of course it puts a cloud in the title. It makes it difficult for transactions to occur with respect to that property. And I think that's one of the reasons why the law would draw a line and say maybe you file it simultaneously with the filing of your lawsuit, but you've got to take that step to get past whatever the Rule 11 type requirements are for a lawsuit to show that this is a bona fide transaction.
Your Honor, I believe that you're correct that there is a risk. However, I think that the good faith aspect of it is central, that you have to have good faith to file that lien.
What Florida statute says or rule of court says that you can file these notices prior to lawsuits being filed?
I'm not aware of any particular statute on that point, Your Honor.
You would think there would be one.
Does the court have any further questions?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Graham. So, Mr. Kepley, does he have any time left? Another minute? Something further?
To answer the question there, the Florida statutes have a provision for registering a foreign judgment, and that was not undertaken by Mr. Gallo. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, both counsel.